Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Matthew chapter 28, don't sit down. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Allow me to read it to you. You follow along. This is Resurrection Sunday, first day of the week. That's when the New Testament church comes together to honor and worship the living God. You need to understand this, and I hope you understand this as we work through this message this morning. Our God lives. Our God is alive. You take that corpse of a religion you may have, you get it away from me. That's not what I want. I want to worship the living God. He's no longer in a tomb. He's alive. You know, a lot of churches are just dead. Their dead orthodoxy is dry and musty. I'm telling you, some churches ought to be called 30 Below Baptist Church. It's like they have no understanding of really what we have in Christ and who we have in Christ. Let's read about it together. Matthew 28, allow me to read. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen. Let me read that one more time. You might want to say amen after that. It says, he is not here, for he is risen. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's bow together in prayer again. God, please take over in this message this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask that your will would be accomplished in the preaching of your word. And God, I pray that again, if there's someone not born again, they're spiritually dead right now. They don't understand what this is about. They have no idea how to love you. They have no idea that maybe they're hoping they can, but they're completely disconnected. Oh, God, melt away the barriers. Melt away the false philosophies and the vain glory. And God, may you be exalted in such a way that that one will come to Christ. Whether they're here in the auditorium, listening by way of the internet or a radio broadcast, God, we ask that you'd save souls today. And may we as children of God rejoice in the resurrection. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My heart is hurt this morning. As little as three people mentioned to me today, Pastor, you shaved off your beard. I did it on Thursday morning, and I expected everybody to see the difference. You know how vain we are. I looked in the mirror and said, man, I look different because I've been growing this thing all winter long. And I come over to the school. Nobody mentioned it in the office. Nobody mentioned it at the school. Not the first time through. I started going to some classrooms. Kids didn't mention it. A couple of girls mentioned it by about the third classroom I was in. Sometimes we oversell ourselves, don't we? We think we're real important, and we really ain't, we're really not. We oversell ourselves, and we undersell God. That is a problem. And I trust this morning that by way of God the Holy Spirit, our Savior will be exalted in such a way that anybody that's here that's unsaved, you'll want to get saved. I'll start the message by saying this the only way I know how to say it. If you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, if somehow I could communicate to you how good my Savior is, you would want him. You would run over people to get to him. I'm telling you, he is that good. And he's alive. He is a risen God. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world that is upside down in so many ways. There are so many problems in America right now. There is so much baggage. And with all of that, you just keep hearing more and more foolishness. And I guess right now they got pet stores opening up to sell marijuana for pets in California. Now I'm just thinking, what in the world is going on? And life is so cheap. You know the number one cause of death in the world in the year 2018? Abortion. We got it all backwards. Man has made a colossal mess of the society in which we live. And everybody thinks, man, I got the answer. And they know in their heart of hearts they don't have the answer. Unless you've got Jesus. Boy, he makes all of the difference in the world. I want to preach a message this morning, not on the resurrection, although I'm going to hit the resurrection real hard here in the beginning of the message. But I want to share with you what Christ is doing for you right now today. What Jesus is doing in heaven today. You ever think about that? It's a great big doctrine. And it ought to encourage every single child of God. Our God is alive. Look, go to Acts chapter 1, just to start the message out this morning. Acts in chapter 1. Here Dr. Luke records in Holy Writ the history of the early church. And make no mistake about it, although Jesus ascended on up into heaven, he is still leading his church. He sent his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is the head of the church. And he is here today for the New Testament church in the form of the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. He's leading his church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He's the one that died. He's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that made the blood atonement. He's the one that rose again on the third day in victory over death and in victory over the grave. It's his church. You understand? He's still here and he's at work and he's coming back physically and visibly. He's coming back for his church. He's going to rescue this church from this world, this evil world of sin in which we live. Now, we're not to be defeated in the meantime. We get to live for God and the last days of the church age and live victoriously and be that church that honors God. It's a great and a grand privilege. But one day soon, the trumpet's going to sound and the church is going to be raptured off of this earth. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation and Jesus comes on Mount and sets foot on Mount Olivet. That's where he left, by the way. That's Acts in chapter 1. He ascended from Mount Olivet. He's going to set foot again on Mount Olivet. Next time he comes, he's coming with a sword in his hand. Battle of Armageddon. But let's read just the first few verses of chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus walked this earth in his resurrected body for 40 days. He instructed his followers. He was seen of a crowd of 500 men at one time. For 40 days he lived in his resurrected body and many infallible proofs. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Talking about the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now he's speaking, Luke wrote this down. He's speaking of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to this earth. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time, or wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. You understand what's going on here? Jesus is speaking to them, and he's fellowshipping with them. And we read in the Gospels, he eats with them, he talks with them, he teaches them. And they ask, in his resurrected body, in his glorified body, this is after the resurrection, after he has conquered the grave, and they say, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom now again to Jerusalem? And he said, it's not for you know the time nor the seasons concerning the second coming of Christ. But ye shall receive power. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Comforter, the Paracleta, the Helper, the Holy Spirit of God. He's talking about the church age. You understand verse 8? He's talking about the age in which we are living right now. He said, listen, it's not you don't know the day or the hour that I'm going to come, but here's what you need to know. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Time of Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Boy, and he goes on and he instructs the believers, and then he ascends up into heaven. And let me just paraphrase what we're going to read here in Acts in chapter 1. We won't take time to read it this morning. He said, after he instructed them, he ascends on up into heaven. From Mount Olivet, he ascends up in the clouds. And they all stand in amazement as Jesus ascends on up into the heavens. And two men in white apparel stand by them. Two angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens and to the clouds? This same Jesus whom you have seen leave today will so come in like manner. Talking of the rapture of the church. When Jesus, when we meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Remember what he said? Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus ascended on up into heaven because his work on this earth is finished until he returns again. And he came in the form of the person of the Holy Spirit of God and ordained the New Testament church and said, you go forth and you preach the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth, because the work, the gospel's finished. The work of the cross is finished. And Jesus said in John in chapter 19 and along about verse 30, at the end of the 6 hours when he was hanging on the cross, he said those three words, it is finished. He was talking about the plan of redemption. He was talking about the blood atonement. He fulfilled all of those messianic prophecies. And then they took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. Borrowed because he wasn't going to stay there. He didn't need it. He only needed it for 3 days. That's all he needed, 3 days and 3 nights. And then he arose from the grave. He's alive. Here's what you need to know this morning, church. Our God lives. Our Jesus is alive. Man, go away with that dead religion. Go away with that mumbling through a few hymns. Go away with not having a changed and a vibrant life that can be lived for the glory of God. And when I say changed, I mean continuing to change, because we're not yet perfect. We're in Christ, but man, it's a gradual sanctification as far as getting more and more like Jesus. And that will come by way of power. The work of the cross is finished. Hebrews in chapter 10. Why don't you turn over there, please? Hebrews in chapter 10. And turn there as quickly as you can. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 12. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. He recognized this. He puts it in Holy Writ so we can understand the conversation that went on. Jesus said, I know why I've been given this body. I know why the incarnation. I know why I'm here on this earth. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The blood of bulls and goats and all the Old Testament sacrifices, God was not pleased. That was not enough. It couldn't permanently wash away sin. Only the Lamb of God could. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We want to exalt Jesus this morning. I'm preaching a living Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, of every generation that has ever lived or ever will live on this planet. The blood atonement was made. He had his sins on our sins on his body. He died. He dismissed his spirit. He went to the tomb. They carried him to the grave. And on the third day, just like he said he would, he rose from the dead. That is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel, the death, the shedding of the blood, that's atonement. The death, that's the penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death. The resurrection, that is victory. The resurrection is God's amen to the work of the cross. That's what separates the wannabe religions from the real deal, the resurrection. We don't worship a dead God. Our God isn't in any tomb on this earth. He conquered the grave and then ascended on up into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. It tells us this, as a matter of fact, over and over again. But before I get to that, let's talk about this death, burial, and resurrection. Every time someone gets baptized in the baptismal tank, that is a picture of the gospel. And it's the whole gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. Could you imagine if there was no resurrection? I was thinking about this morning in my little immature little boy's mind. If there was no resurrection, I think it'd be really hard to get candidates for baptism. That's a picture, right? Death, burial, and resurrection. So I get somebody that, you know, yeah, I believe in Christ. There's no resurrection. Now by authority of the word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death. No resurrection. But it's death, burial, and resurrection. You see, when someone gets baptized, they're picturing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's somebody that's already been born again, and now they want to live for God. Jesus is alive. That's good news. What he did on the cross is enough for my sin. That's good news. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Because he lives, I too shall live. That's a promise from Jesus Christ himself. You know your Bible, you know what he says about that. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. He shall live because he is our first fruits. He is the resurrection. You ever wonder what Jesus is doing now that he's ascended? By the way, he's not on a cross. Don't be wearing a piece of jewelry that still has him on the cross. That's defeated. He rose again. He's alive. What a God we serve. He can conquer death. Oh, here's a picture, by the way, book of Colossians. The handwriting of the ordinances was nailed to the cross. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, my sins were on his body, nailed right to the cross, nailed right there. And he became sin who knew no sin, the Bible says. And he took that sin and he took it to the grave. And then he left that sin there, the penalty of sin there. He left it there in the grave like a dead corpse that it is. And he rose again on the third day. Our God lives. We worship a living God. That's why when we have song service here and we sing the old hymns, we sing like they're real. We sing from the heart. We sing because we really know that he lives. My Savior lives. We know it. He ascended because he finished the work of the cross. He ascended, and he's there interceding for you and for me. Take your Bibles. You're in Hebrews, maybe yet. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Here's a big deal. Jesus is praying for me. As a child of God. I'm not special. If you're born again, he's interceding on your behalf too. We have one advocate, one mediator with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 2. Look what it says here in Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Look at chapter 9, same book, verse 24. For Christ is entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is interceding for you and for me right now. The accuser of the brethren's there, old Beelzebub, the devil himself, walking to and fro on this earth and reporting to God, and he's accusing the brethren. You know what the book of Revelation says? But Jesus is there seated right at the right hand of the throne of God, God the Son, and he's interceding. He's praying for you and for me. Glory to God. Every time I confess a sin, because even after you're born again, you still sin. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the deal. Every time I come to the throne of grace and confess a sin, it's the first time. It's the first time. Because my other sins have been forgiven. He's alive. Only a living Savior could do that. He ascended that the Holy Spirit might come. I've already addressed this, but let's look at John in chapter 16. John in chapter 16, verse 7. one of many verses here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Before Calvary, talking to his followers, talking to his disciples, saying, listen, I got to go. He told them exactly what was going to happen. He said, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. But listen, understand this. I'm going to rise again on the third day. For some reason, they forgot all about that. Too good to be true or something. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to conquer the grave, and I'm going to live again on the third day. He said, it's needful for you that I go away. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Third person of the Trinity. God the Father, first person. God the Son, second person. And God the Holy Spirit, the third person. And don't let a cultist tell you the Trinity is not in the Word of God. It's all over the scripture. I can show you verse after verse and passage after passage. It's Elohim. It's God said, let us make man in our own image. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not a three-headed God, one in essence, but he's God. And God the Son came down to this earth, took on the form of a man so he could die in my place and die in your place. He told his followers, after I die and after I resurrect, I'm going to ascend on up into heaven. And it's needful for me to go so that the Holy Spirit will come. The Comforter. What a great description of the Holy Spirit. Parakletos is the Greek word. He comes down along beside us, lifts our burdens. The Helper. But I got to tell you, the best word, best description is Holy Spirit. He said, it's needful for me to go so the Holy Spirit will come. Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, would you turn back to Matthew again, that 28th chapter. He ascended and sent the Holy Spirit so that we would be empowered and indwelt as believers, so we would have Holy Spirit power, soul-winning power, to fulfill the Great Commission. To go after people and tell others of Jesus that they too might be born again. Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's Trinity right there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are in the business. We are in God's business, and that business is to reach this world for Christ, to reach Chippewa County for Christ, to do all we can to populate heaven, not to build an empire here in this world, not to build up some kind of networking system where there's all kinds of money flowing in, not to build big water slides, not to be ingrowing. That's not it at all. We're here to reach the lost. Jesus left so the Holy Spirit would come, so the church would be energized and empowered and enabled to reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like every generation before us, we are responsible for this generation. That's what it says in Corinthians. We are accountable for the day in which we live. Our grandparents, that was another generation. That was their time. This is our time. Our responsibility. So you don't know how hard it is. I beg to differ with you. It's not really that hard. There's a big difference between black and white. Righteousness and evil. And it's never been such a stark difference as what it is right now. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'd draw all men unto me. Speaking of Calvary. But boy, there's a metaphor. If the church of Jesus Christ will just exalt Jesus in our lives, in our church services, in our communities, he'll draw all men unto him. Man, people will get born again. He ascended so the Holy Spirit would come. He ascended so the church would be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Let me take a minute and just say this. Sunday school contest coming up. I'll mention some more about it tonight. I'll mention some more about it in another message. I got two more points I want to hit, and I got 5 minutes left. So what we need to be praying about that. Another reason he went to heaven, he ascended, is that he might prepare heaven. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 3. John chapter 14 and verse 3. If you're getting tired, I want to remind you, getting tired in life, heaven's just over the hilltop. Heaven is just, it's not too far away. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. I cannot wait. I promise you this. I said it in Sunday school. I'll make you a promise, and I'll do this promise with the authority of the Word of God. When you get to heaven, your first breath you breathe of celestial air, the first time you enter the gate, you won't regret you got born again. I would rather live the best, most palatial mansion this world has to offer. Is not even on the scale. Cannot even be compared with the worst spot in my Father's heavenly mansion. I would rather live in a pup tent outside the city gates of heaven than the best house on this planet today. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you're going to recognize, man, God is good. Why didn't I serve him better? Why wasn't I doing more? John in chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, man, heaven is a wonderful... One of the things that Jesus has been doing for 2,000 years is preparing heaven for you and for me. And he ascended also that he might come again. History is going somewhere. He said, what's happening in the world in which we live? Why are things going so wacky? What is it? What in the world... And you know, it's like we've closed our eyes for 10 years and boom, we live in a different world. And it's getting worse and worse. And things are getting darker and darker. And people are pinning all their hopes and dreams in very temporal things that they can't hang on to. And man, it's just, that is the world in which we live right now. And I'm telling you, history is going somewhere. The Bible says that things would wax worse and worse before Jesus comes. The Bible says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, just prior to Genesis in chapter 6, that's how it's going to be in the world before, just before I return to this earth. And we are there. History's going somewhere. There's a climax coming. It's called the second coming of Christ. The trumpet's going to sound, the church is going to be rescued, 7 years of tribulation, and then... the second coming, Olivet, Armageddon. Last time Jesus was on this earth, he came as a baby. Next time he comes as King of Kings. And his vesture will be dipped in blood. And he'll speak the word of God. And Armageddon will take place. And what an event that's going to be. History's going somewhere. One of these, you see, he couldn't come again, as was prophesied, unless he went back home first. And so he ascended. The last reason he ascended on up to heaven is so he would come and be able to come again. Jesus is coming very soon. There needs to be a time and a place where you repent of your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior. You don't join anything. You repent and you're adopted into the family of God. You need to understand, our God's alive. That's why I'm not the man I used to be. Man, I ain't playing games with God. Here's a sobering thought. And there is a time this will happen. What if you're scheduled to see God this afternoon? What would you be ashamed of in your life? That is what you need to repent of right now. Because Jesus is coming.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.